Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to Harry's.com. For a limited time, new customers can get a free trial and pay just $3 for shipping by going to Harry's.com/HamNation. By DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 244, April 20th, 2016. George talks about his plastic parts. Hello, everybody. It's Bob Heil, K9EID. I didn't get captured in California, but I almost did. We won't even talk. We don't have enough time to talk about how many times I had to turn around and do stuff in these silly airplanes. But DFW got closed. Think about it. They're one of the largest airports. They closed it. So anyway, I made it home, though. It was fun. But we had a lot of fun there. And don't give me any grief. I didn't have time to download this. But look at the crowd we had in my workshop. But there you go. They all, and that room was packed, and I was amazed, the majority of them. And these are DX contest guys, but they watch Ham Nation. And, of course, you know why they do. They watch it to see Valerie. I know. And unfortunately, she was on the stage with me, her and Jerry, when I did that. Right at the end, so she didn't get on the video, but she was helping me take it. So there you go. But we had a good time there. We'll talk about that later on. I got a couple of Audio Alley things. I got some questions I'm going to answer about the 7300 that I got in emails, and Ray sent me an email today and answered them. So we had a few other little deals about that. But in the meantime, George, how you doing in Mississippi? Is it raining there or any of that nonsense? You got good weather?
Yeah, we've got good weather so far. It's kind of camped out over Louisiana, so they're having a lot over there. For several days now, we were expecting it here today, maybe tonight. Last night they were promising it's just going to breeze right past us, so I hope it doesn't stick around like it did over in Louisiana. Been kind of busy at the transmitter sites and catching up on things out there. And the good weather helps, because some of them I really don't want to go to when it's real wet, but I may have to. You never know.
I understand. Oh, yes. And then, of course, Don is out tonight because he's having it's the 8th birthday party for their news talker show, radio station WRNO. Out at Zephyr Field. That's a minor league baseball field, and it's a really great statement. And could be that he's going to throw the first pitch, so we'll have to see if there's video of that. But the New Orleans Zephyrs, they are playing the Iowa Cubs. And he says he really loves AAA, and I do too. We have a minor league here, the Springfield Cardinals, and it's really great. But let's go out to California. We have your California weather here that I brought back with me, so that's good. And Gordo, how you doing? You and Susan, the cat's okay?
Hey, we're fine, Bob, and congratulations to everybody that made it to Visalia. We understand it was one heck of a great DX convention. And for those of you that went down to Washington, D.C. for the VHF-UHF big get-together, congratulations to you for all you learned. And many of us were on that Sunday a couple days ago for the rookie roundup. That was a big hit. Bulletin, Stay clear of 7.060 megahertz. This is where the Ecuadorian earthquake emergency traffic is taking place. So 7.060, give it a break, you CW ops, because that's where earthquake traffic is coming out of. Also, tomorrow, for those of you in Pennsylvania that are on the 60-meter band, you're going to find that the military is going to be there, the Red Cross is going to be there, and other shares, as well as amateur radio operators on 60 meters, for about a 1 to 2 hour test. So don't get excited if you hear some strange call signs that are not ham radio call signs, because that's the big things going on 60 meters. And I look forward to seeing all of you weekend after next in Las Vegas, Nevada, for the Nevada Ham Radio Convention. Then a couple of weeks later, we'll see you at Rocky Mountain, and Amanda will be there with all her team. That's May 13, 14, and 15. And then, of course, we're all getting ready for the Dayton Hamvention that following weekend. But before we go, I had an email from a ham who said, I love my IC7300. And he sent me a little photo of it, and he says, but, you know, every time I tune around, about every 10 kilohertz, I hear a signal. It's like the old crystal calibrator. Remember those, Bob? Well, no, it's not your crystal calibrator. He figured it out. And he being, let me get his call sign here, KF7MSS, figured it out. It was the Maytag washer. Well, that's the subject for tonight's Short Shots. So, Victor, if you don't mind, let's roll that first short shot and thereafter. Wow. Take a look at this on 28 megahertz. When you see a display that looks like this on your new ICOM 7300, here's what it sounds like. Absolutely ugly on the air every 10 or 20 kilohertz. And, Victor, if you'll go to the next shot. We take a simple shortwave receiver, and that shortwave receiver can be tuned to the AM radio band, or we can go ahead and sniff around, and guess what we found coming out of all this noise? Take a listen, and it... Yep, that's the Maytag. That's the washer. So if you've got phantom signals showing up on your ICOM 7300 or your other rigs, that's probably where it's coming from. And that is a turned on washer. And we use the time signals at 10 megahertz to be able to discern whether we got noise or not. Hear the ticking sound? That's coming from either Colorado or from the Hawaiian Islands. But that's how we determine which is the device making all the racket. Now, you can take little tiny direction finders as we did here, but nothing beats just getting close to it and being able to determine. And this was an interesting sound. No. The dog was not in the dishwasher when it was turned on. But anyway, afterwards, we could certainly hear that rhythmic sound of a dishwasher doing dishes coming over your high-frequency transceiver. And, again, we take a shortwave radio, and you've got to hold it within about a foot of the noise, potential noise source, and identify it, and then tune around and see if it's every 10 or 20 kilohertz, as this fax machine was. Now, there's other sounds that... We have to deal with, and that is the atmospheric sounds of a thunderstorm. Hear the lightning pop right there? Not yet. And here comes the lightning pop. Yeah, that was a good one. And those sporadic lightning pops are caused by, of course, lightning, but it could be up to 500 to 1,000 miles away. Who would think that lightning would go that far? All right, noisemakers on the air. If you've got a lot of computer monitors, we can tune them around. And And if your antenna is fairly close to your computer readouts, then you're going to need to do a little bit of work on those computer readouts with the little ferrite clamshells that fit over each and every one of the leads. And that will help mitigate the problem leaving directly from your computer wiring up to that hopefully more distant antenna. So, yes, noise can be minimized. But is it coming from something phantom in your house? You need a portable receiver. Shut off every circuit breaker in the house. I know you're going to have to reprogram a lot of stuff. That's good for us. And if the noise abruptly stops, then you need to start sniffing around the house. But who knows? Maybe it's going to be a solar panel. And I've got a little dune buggy out in the driveway, and it has a solar panel. And it has a pulse charger, and pulse chargers are used in the marine electronics industry to keep a battery nice and fresh. But guess what the pulse charger looks like on an oscilloscope? Yeah, you see a square wave attack like that, and you know that it's going to generate a pop on the ham radio bands. So that little pulsing noise is the pulsing going on that little battery charger. Other noisemakers could be pest repellers. But look at this. The solar panels on my neighbor's house were nice and quiet for almost a year. And then all of a sudden it became noisy around the holiday season. Well, if you take a close look, the noise doesn't come out of the solar panels themselves, but rather the regulator. And he's got Christmas tree lights strung up like a perfect dipole, and it radiates that pulse width modulated charging assembly for about 100 yards. So after the holiday season, the lights came down, and I'm very happy to report I could now hear 40 meters high frequency. For those of you that do monitoring of weather facsimile signals, here's what noise looks like. But this is not a common noise source. This is just a fade in the signal. So don't blame any electronics in your shack. Good old Mother Nature. And if you see non-harmonically related signals like this, it could be a foreign broadcast coming in on 40 meters up until about 3 hours after sunup. That showed 28 megs, so I wouldn't have any foreign broadcast up there. And field day. Well, we all know the fun of field day. And field day fun is where you're going to have a lot of generators. And when you have a generator, yeah, that's pretty bad. So if you've got generators at field day, make sure they're good ones. These Hondas were exceptionally quiet, I'm happy to say. But those that came from China, they were exceptionally noisy. So watch out for that. And run good coax. Get your coax from DX Engineering, and you won't end up with stuff like this. This coax literally leaks in noisemakers that the coax runs beside. And at field day, you've got a lot. And, of course, the good old car generator or alternator, it, too, can give out noise. And that noise can be mitigated by power line noise filters that you get at your automobile stereo shop. Finally, power line noise. Yep, that creeps in, and that's just a hash. I won't even play that for you because you know what the hash sounds like, especially along these big mamas up 100 feet. And one way to mitigate power line noise comes from MFJ. And what it does is it puts the noise out of phase on a separate little receiving antenna setup. And as you can see, it's pretty dramatic as to how much the MFJ noise elimination for power line noise device works. It's not going to cure it, but it's going to cut down the noise. Finally, we had a maritime mobile station complain of noise, and I said, well, I'll come on down to the boat. And he says, no, I'll drive it by. I go, how are you going to drive a boat by in Costa Mesa? Well, we found out. His noise was easily cured. And finally, trans-reflective devices, translucent devices like we have in our communications van, they are quiet. And I'm very happy to report that the flexible light-emitting diode strips are quiet until you put them on a pulse width modulated dimmer. So if you put them on dim, they are going to give out a racket. So, Victor, that's the short shots, and we hope all of you will have an opportunity to go out there and find your noise source. Again, a little portable radio makes all the difference in the world to track it down. So, Bob, that's my story. We'll see you next week, and then I'm off for the Nevada Amateur Radio Convention in Las Vegas weekend after next. Bob?
All right. One thing Chip brought in the chat room, K9MIT, he's always just so helpful with information that he sends me during the week. He mentioned the thing, it's not a bad idea to once in a while go out and flip all of your circuit breakers. I know you got to reset a bunch of stuff, but I've found that here where once in a while, and they're not overloaded, they just, I guess, get tired. Work them back and forth a little bit. And
agreed. Yep, I agree.
That's a good. You agree?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, any of that kind of stuff. Just think of all the switches you have, and you work them back and forth and clean them up a little bit. Well, we're going to go talk to Don a minute. He's going to be talking about one of my favorite things, and that's a good old Harry's. I'll tell you what, I'd be lost without. And you know, we talk about their razors all the time. They're aftershave lotion and their shaving gel.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm.
So let's go hear what Don's got to say about Harry's.
This episode tonight of Ham Nation is brought to you by Harry's. I don't know about you, but I'm not a big fan of shaving. You know, it's uncomfortable. You get nicks and cuts. And it just takes time. It's messy and all that stuff. But there is a company that is changing all of that for me. You know, I am a confirmed electric guy. But every now and then, I like to treat myself to a really nice blade shave. And it doesn't have to be expensive, and it doesn't have to be a hassle if you go with Harry's. Harry's makes high-quality, high-performance German blades. Yes, they make them themselves. They own the factory. And these blades are crafted by shaving experts, and they feel amazing. You are going to love your Harry's shave. And I'll be honest with you, really, seriously, it's the best shave I've ever had in forever. Harry's is a factory direct, so the blades are about half the price of the leading brands, and they will ship them right straight to your doorstep. You don't have to deal with the lines at the drugstore, wait for somebody to come and unlock the big plexiglass razor safe. You know what I'm talking about. Don't you hate that? And then you have to be frisked. I mean, you know, unless you like that sort of guy. But that's not the point. Getting started with Harry's could not be easier. Over a million guys and ladies have made the switch to Harry's, and the website is streamlined. It's easy to use. It takes 30 seconds or less to place an order. And if you ever have to use the customer service, which you probably won't, you'll love it because the customer service experience is unmatched. And as you probably know, I've been using the Winston set. I've been using the Truman set as well. I like them both. They're really high quality. The blades are super sharp. They give you a nice, close, comfortable shave. And inside the case, inside the box, you will find a razor handle, give you a great look and feel, extra blades, shave cream, or foaming shave gel. It's kind of your choice. And it smells great. And all the products look very sleek, very well thought out. The best part is it costs about half as much as other razor brands. And it's all shipped direct to your door. Why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get them for half the price at Harry's.com? Harry's offers customized shaving plans. They make it easy to get your shave supplies delivered direct to your door on your terms based on how often you shave. In fact, Harry's is so confident that you will love your Harry shave for a limited time. They're offering to let you try it for free. Just sign up for a shave plan. Get one of Harry's beautifully crafted razor handles with 5-blade cartridge, the foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for free. Just cover the $3 shipping charge. Go to harrys.com/hamnation right now to start your free trial. harrys.com/hamnation. Harry, thanks for being a part of the Ham Nation family. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2007, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, April 20th, 2016. We begin this week with a reminder of our origins as amateur radio operators. Where would any of us be without Guglielmo Marconi? For the past 29 years, hams have set aside one day in April to get on the very same airwaves discovered so long ago by this physicist, inventor, and important communicator.
Happy birthday, Guglielmo Marconi. The birthday of the pioneering wireless scientist is recorded as the 25th of April, 1874. But amateur radio operators around the world are again taking part in International Marconi Day on Saturday, the 23rd of April. The 24-hour-long event has its roots not just in the birth of Marconi, but in the heart of one of the celebration's founders, Norman Pascoe, G4USB, former president of the Cornish Radio Amateur Club, who became a silent key earlier this year. This year, the Cornish amateurs are making an extra effort for a successful event to honour not just Guglielmo Marconi, but Norman as well. The Cornish Club GB4IMD will be operating from the Styrian Showground in Cornwall and will be joined by stations around the world on the bands. International Marconi Day awards will be given to qualifying operators. For a list of confirmed stations, visit gx4crc.com/IMD-stations. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH in Nottingham in the UK.
The amateur radio activities of one Seattle area father has clearly had an impact on his elementary school-age daughters. They aren't hams yet, but they definitely like getting on the air, just in a different way. And it's landed them at the White House. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Inspired by their amateur radio father, two young Seattle, Washington sisters are having a positively presidential moment this month. Rebecca Young, age 10, and Kimberly Young, age 8, the daughters of Winston Young, KI7CSK, are fascinated with the study of science and space. Last year, accompanied by their father and mother, they visited a local lake in central Washington to launch a small spacecraft they designed and built with encouragement on the project from their dad. At the lake, the APRS-equipped craft went 78,000 feet up and attracted not just the local media, but eventually the White House. An invitation to the White House Science Fair came not long after. That fair was held Wednesday, April 13th. In a blog post, Amanda Stone, White House Senior Program Manager in the Office of Digital Strategy, wrote, "Kimberly and Rebecca hope to show other children that science and engineering is not only interesting and accessible for kids, but a lot of fun as well." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
There's a new head of satellite operations at the IARU.
The International Amateur Radio Union, the IARU, has appointed Hans Blondell Timmerman, PB2T, as new IARU satellite advisor. The position represents the IARU to the satellite community and performs satellite frequency coordination. In addition, it has responsibility for maintaining correspondence, reporting to the IARU Administrative Council, and, if requested, provide technical and operational advice. Hans Timmerman, Papa Bravo 2 Tango, was first licensed in 1980, carrying out many roles, including being the IARU Region 1 President from 2008 to 2014. He replaces Hans van de Grondel, ZS6AKV, who served as IARU Satellite Advisor since 1994. During this time, he established many of the procedures used for amateur satellite frequency coordination today. I'm Graham, VK4BB, for Amateur Radio Newsline, reporting from Australia.
And finally, another reminder that the nominating period for the Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year Award is now open. More information in the nominating form can be found on the Newsline website under the YHOTY tab at the top of the page. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, Paul Brown, WD9GCO, Graham Kemp, VK4BB, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide. I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW. 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
Thank you for that, Don. You know, some things I do, and as amazing as it may seem, are not really radio-related or amateur radio-related, but yet they're things that you need to know how to do. One of them that I did last week was make a lineman splice. If you go watch the last episode of AmateurLogic.tv, you'll see how to do that. And it's just amazing how well you can twist two wires together and get them to stay. And I don't know that I could pull my truck with this, but boy, really strong splice. And that's sort of what we're going to do here today. It's not really radio, but it's a trick that I learned many years ago of some really good stuff to use for repair work. Let's take a look at that.
Being the resident tech guru often means that you're the one who has to fix stuff when it breaks, and that's what's going on here with my Roku remote control. The door on the back has a tab here that holds it on. That's broken off, and it won't stay on anymore. I need to fix that. I don't want to tape it on there. I don't want to glue it on, so how can I fix that? Well, here's what was originally there. This is off another remote. You can see the little tab there that, just like so many remotes have, fits up in the slot and snaps in. That's missing off of this one. So how can we recreate that? Well, I don't think we could do it with hot glue. I don't own a 3D printer, so I'm not going to print out a new one of these covers. I don't have the original piece that came off of here. I'm not sure what even happened with it. So we're just going to make another one. To do that, I've got some materials here I've worked with before called PlastiPear. This is made by Ron Chemical. What it is, there's a little powder or little beads here in one container. The other container holds liquid. You mix some of the powder and liquid together, and then you can form plastic parts with them. And that's what we're going to do here. I don't know how successful I'm going to be, but I'm going to give it a shot. Now, before I get started, I'm going to need to think about things a little bit. How am I going to hold this while I make the new part on it? And it's going to have to cure, of course. So I happen to have a couple of little L brackets laying around here. I'll just make a temporary little stand to hold things together while I work on it. Now we can just set it up right there. And it's metal, so this stuff is not going to stick with it. If I had plastic or something else up there, I might have a problem. So let's mix a little bit up here. Comes with an eyedropper. The trick is getting the consistency just right with this stuff. And working with it before it hardens. Too much liquid, and it's too runny. Too much powder, and it just makes clumps. Okay, that looks like the consistency that I'm looking for. First thing I need to do, though, is get the plastic here ready to accept the PlastiPear. And I found that usually if you take a little liquid, and on most plastics, just wet it a little with the liquid, that'll soften it up, and our PlastiPear will stick to it better. It's already hardened. Not completely, but enough that I need to add a little liquid to it. I thought about this before I got started. And I think the best way to do this is just to make a clump of it out here. If I can get that attached, I'll make this a little bigger than it actually needs to be. And then I can trim it to the size necessary to make the little snap. All right, I think we've got more than we need there to do the job. Well, they don't look much the same. After that dries, I'll come back and work on it a little bit. It's been 24 hours now, and it's dried. Let's see how tough it is. Yeah, it's, as I was hoping, it's almost like it's part of the original plastic there. So now the next step here is to trim this down to where it will actually work. What I'm going to use for that is an X-Acto knife, an X-Acto saw, and a little file. Now I'm going to do this off camera because it's going to take a little while. And we'll just come back once I've whittled this down some. Well, after much cutting and sanding and filing and gnashing of teeth, I've got it down here and kind of scratched up the case a little bit, but, you know, that's just the way it turned out. I could have probably put some tape over that or something before I started filing and cutting and ended up better. Here's what it looks like, and here's the one we were comparing it against. It's not quite as well defined there as a point on the end and a hook. It's a little taper to it there. It feels good and strong, though. Probably stronger than the original one because it's a little bit thicker. Does it fit? Let's see. Yeah. Holds in there pretty good. It's not quite as tight as the original one, but, you know, that's probably why the original one was broke, is it was so hard to open up to get the batteries out. I think that'll do in a pinch, and at least the cover will stay on now. So there you go, Plastipair. I use it for all kind of plastic repairs. Highly recommend it. And that is some really good stuff. It's not glue. You may initially think of it as glue. When I tell people about it, that's what they think. But once you see it, it's plastic. You can make parts with it and whittle them out like you need, like I did there. It adheres real good to the plastic. It actually melts into it and fuses. So I've used that for a lot of stuff over the years. And I was fortunate enough that I finally found it again. I got that at MCM Electronics, and I think I saw it on Amazon for about twice the price. About $13 from MCM. I think GC Electronics used to sell that stuff years ago. Of course, it was a lot cheaper then, but something you definitely want to have in your bag of tricks. Just great for fixing all kinds of plastic stuff. Well, you know, last week I asked a question. What connector does a PL259 mate with? And that's because we looked at installing a PL259 last week. And we got a winner on that. It's Michael McConnell, W0PD. And Michael said it's an SO239. That's correct, Michael. Congratulations. We're going to send you a DX Engineering cap, courtesy of our friends at DX Engineering. For next week, I've got another question, and I've got another prize. What we're going to give away is one of these MFJ 4422 digital volt ammeters. Measures 3.5 to 30 volts DC at up to 30 amps. Put it right in series with your mobile rig, or be great with a Go Kit so you can see what state your battery is in, how much current you're drawing. If you'd like to win this, then answer this simple question. And there's no right answer to this one. We're just going to kind of look and see what people think. But what would you use Plastipair for? Got an idea there? Well, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might win this MFJ 4422 volt ammeter. Well, speaking of DX Engineering and the folks with the hat here,
I think we've got a guy with a message here from them.
Hey, let's talk tools. You know, your project or the craftsmen are really only as good as their tools. And DX Engineering will help you out with your tools because DX Engineering carries a comprehensive line of tools tailored specifically for hams. From tower building, cable prep, DX Engineering tools will help you finish the job right. And some of these tools you can only find at DX Engineering. You want to make great coax cables? DX Engineering has several handy kits that will bundle the essential components you need to completely, professionally make your own connector installations. There's the basic kit that gives you the right tools to install solder on PL259s on RG213, RG8, and similarly sized cable. The basic kits gives you a cutting tool, stripping tool, cable gripper, and a connector install tool. You want to upgrade to the complete kit? That will add the proper tools to work RG8X and type N connectors. And if you prefer F connectors, DX Engineering has a special kit for F connectors. And every kit comes bundled in a durable foam-lined case that keeps things nice and organized and clean. And DX Engineering recently started carrying professional quality protective cases from Nanook. You're going to love these things. Nanook cases are the ideal way to move and store your valuable radio equipment. They're also an excellent place to put your MCOM Go kit. These Nanook cases have been tested to withstand scorching desert heat and frigid Arctic blasts. They're almost indestructible. They meet strict military standards. They are lightweight and virtually, like I said, indestructible. And they have the exclusive power claw latches that ensure that the lids are closed and stay closed. Nanook cases come in a huge range of sizes and styles. You can find the one perfect for you at dxengineering.com. And then there are antenna analyzers and Rig Expert. They're the best. They are invaluable tools for testing antennas and feed lines during an emergency or any other time, really. They can also be used to test coaxial cable assemblies. They measure the capacitance or inductance of reactive loads. They drastically cut down on precious antenna adjustment time, get you on the air faster. They will accurately provide graphic representation of SWR, impedance, loss, and more. They're battery powered. Large display makes them very easy to use out in the field. And this is just the beginning. You need to check out the tools and supply section at dxengineering.com to see all of the amateur radio gear, amateur radio specialty gear that you need to build a powerhouse station. Like I said, you're not going to find this stuff anyplace else. And DX Engineering ships faster than anyone else in the industry. If you get your ground shipping order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, and if it's in stock, it'll be on a truck headed your way that day. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request a catalog or shop online 24/7, dxengineering.com/hamnation. dxengineering.com/hamnation. DX Engineering, thank you for your support of Ham Nation.
Excellent. George, that was great also. Man, oh man, that was good. That was good. And we're going to talk a little bit more about DX and engineering because I've got a really great little piece here in just a second. But I want to answer a question. I got this email from a guy, and let's see. What was his name? We should give him credit. This came from Mike Sager. Mike, I don't see your call in here, but anyway. He was eager to see the 7300, which we did show. But he had questions about it. And, you know, I've had some of these same questions asked me. And so I went to Ray today, and Ray Novak answered me quickly. Wanted to know, does the 7300 have two receivers? Can you do split on it? The answer is it does not have dual watch or dual receivers. And what does a panadapter on the computer look like? Well, the deal there is you have to have a program for it. And the program you're looking for is RSBA1. Look up that website, RSBA1. That will give you a lot of information about the program that you need to run this. How do you run digital modes, JT65, PSK, 31, and so on? That's all done with a third-party software package. It can be done, but it's done in the software package again. Can you use your mouse to change the bandwidth of a receive signal, continuously variable? And that depends, again, on the software package. And there it is. on the screen. Check it out. It really gives you great information on the RSBA1. And that's the answer for you. And last but not least, he asked, how does the notch filter work? Is it similar to his PowerSDR? The notch filter is controllable by the software. This is an SDR radio. So most of the things you do like that are going to be governed by the parameters of the software. But what's so cool about it is it's not just a box sitting there on the table. It's up to you, the engineer of your amateur radio station, to make it do what you need. And so the software is really important. Well, I, again, got a couple of questions, and there were about three or four of them all on the same subject again. And guess what it's about? One of my favorite subjects, again, a balanced to unbalanced, so B-A-L-U-N. And one of them was a guy, he put up a dipole, and when he put the dipole up, he was having all kinds of RFI, things like that, and he wanted to know, should he use a balun? And of course he should. And the reason that he should is because here's the situation where you make the dipole, and you know how to do that, 468 divided by the frequency. And when you do that, you're going to take the coax, the shield to one side and the center to the other. When you put that into your radio, just give this a little thought when you do some of these things. When you do that, you have put the half of the antenna, which is the ground side, you've put half of that antenna on the chassis of that radio. And this is going to exhibit, we hope, there's going to be some RF floating around here. Well, the deal is, the shield is supposed to keep it out of here, but you have taken the shield and made it half of the antenna and coupled it to your transmitter. Of course you're going to have RFI once in a while. If you're lucky, you won't. How do you fix it? You use a balance to unbalance. You have an antenna that's really balanced, and the balun is a coil, and it's set right beside another coil, and it's inductive. They do not touch each other. If you took an ohm meter and you touch that to the shield, no, there's no connection. So the antenna radiates from the RF out of the balun, and it doesn't connect the transmitter back there. That is what's so important about this, is that you have not put RF back onto that chassis. That's the important part of a balun. And I must tell you that what I've been seeing from DX Engineering is amazing. They've got a new thing, and it's called MaxiCore High Performance. Look it up on their website. This is really hot dog stuff. Of course, everything they do is so well done. But they've got some great transformers, as I always call them. They're balanced to unbalanced. And their balance and their transformers are great. So look it up. But that's how you solve so much of that. There it is on the screen. Thank you so much, Victor. And just think about it. You're putting RF into half of your antenna. And half of your antenna is coupled where? To your transmitter. And then you go out and you buy those straps and another. So don't get me too far into this. And you tie all that to ground, and then you plug in that third pin and you got another ground. Now you got so darn many grounds, and it's like, oh boy. RF ground loop city. You want to try to remove those ground loops, and we just showed you one way to do that. Keep that antenna from touching that chassis, and you do it with the transformer that we call a balun. And it really works. Trust me, it really does work. And we're happy to be able to show you some of this stuff and play with it, experiment with it, do it. That's how we all learned it, that's for sure. Well, we have a nice video from ICOM about probably the 7300. Let's go take a look at what ICOM has got to say, and we thank them for being here.
Spring is here. Get out, get mobile with ICOM's D-Star radios. Extend your coverage, display, and capabilities without sacrificing size with ICOM's ID51A+, now in five colors. RSMS1A free download Android application allows personal device connection where you can view locations of repeater sites, send and receive text messages, or send and receive pictures. It's got DV and FM repeater search functions, D-Star DV mode capability, and micro SD card slot. If you're new to D-Star, try ICOM's ID880H. Features include VHF-UHF dual-band functionality, one band at a time, good menu structure, and easy programming. Fast multiple scanning for maximum reception. For the ultimate D-Star mobile experience, hit the road with ICOM's ID5100A. This radio offers hands-free operation, optional Bluetooth capability, large backlit screen for high contrast viewing, and 50 watts of output power on both VHF and UHF. Visit ICOMAmerica.com for more information on ICOM's D-Star radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win. After each episode of Ham Nation, go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation, register to win for some great swag prizes like hats and T-shirts. And while you're there, learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for April, we've got an ICOM ID880H VHF UHF digital transceiver. It's got analog and D-Star, 50 watts on both VHF and UHF, one band at a time, wideband receiver, free CS80/880 cloning software, and a lot more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time to bring Dale in for some great Ham Nation viewer videos and whatever else you got. What else you got tonight, Dale?
Okay, George. Well, thanks a lot. We do have a video tonight to sort of put you in the mood, I think, for the Museum Ships Weekend. That's coming up in a little bit over a month. It'll be on the first weekend of June. We also had enough submissions finally for a new Show Me Your Shack episode. So we'll get things rolling right now and go aboard the USS Cobia in Manitowoc, Wisconsin.
Delta Zero Tango Whiskey Echo. I'm getting you into log here at 1824. You're 5x9. Name is Fred. Foxtrot Romeo Echo Delta. We're located in Manitowoc, northeast Wisconsin, about 40 miles south of Green Bay and right on the western shores of Lake Michigan. Presently aboard the World War II submarine USS Cobia. Go ahead.
There I got it. Kilo 5 Zulu Mike X-ray from November Bravo 9, Quebec, Victoria. Aboard the USS Cobia submarine, my name is Gary Golf Alpha Romeo Yankee, over.
Celebrating Veterans Day and all the people that served in the Navy and all the branches of service. That's why we're operating here today on the Navy end here and being aboard submarine.
Very good. Well, 73, John, and take care from November Bravo 9, Quebec, Victoria.
Okay, yeah, very good. Well, you're 5'9 down here in Manitowoc as well, and a very nice signal.
I wish we had your weather, Gary, in Texas. I tell you, thanks for coming in. You're 5x9 here. Very nice signal. A lot of people on the frequency trying to get a whole lot of Cobia there. So hopefully we can work everybody there and say hello. So thanks again. Happy Veterans Day to all the people out there listening. If you're a veteran, thanks for your service. And let's get on with the show here. Okay, November Bravo 9, Quebec, Victoria, QRZ.
It's called a pile-up. There's hundreds of people calling at one time, and you got to decipher their call signs out. But normally the strongest person wins. Well, a lot of unique ones were from the veterans itself, from the people on submarines. There's a few of them, and they knew more about the submarine than we all do here. I'm glad I didn't have to serve on this submarine. It's so small.
The recording was done during the Veterans Day activity on the Cobia. They'll be back on the air for the Museum Ships Weekend, and that is a fun operating event. You'll really enjoy it. And if you work 15 of the museum ships, and there are dozens out there, including most of the retired aircraft carriers, a number of submarines, and it's just a blast. And you'll get a nice certificate if you work 15 of those stations in that weekend. Well, something to look forward to, exactly. Well, our thanks to Matthew Apgar. He works for the Herald Times reporter there in Manitowoc, and he produced the video you just watched. Well, slowly but surely, we've been receiving shack photos from all of you during the past several months. We'll go ahead and check them out right now. Tonight, shack photos from the late winter and early spring of 2016. Mark KD8EDC has been interested in amateur radio since he was young. After years of delay while completing high school and raising a family, he finally got his license in 2006. His station now includes an IC-746 Pro in the shack and an IC-706 in the car, an MFJ-9391 IntelliTuner and HiLPR-781G round out his shack. And here's a look at his hex beam during a winter storm. Here's Cliff, KA0EML, just after he finished raising the tower at Bob's station, K9EID. Bill, W8LV of Circleville, Ohio, sports a Yaesu FT450D and LDG auto tuner, as well as a QJE switching power supply. Will says you can never have too many keys, no matter what the XYL says. And here's Bill's basement workbench. He uses the microscope for surface-mounted work. Take a look at this huge collection of vintage gear. We found it in the shack of Herb, WA6IPD. And for all of Bob's Audio Alley fans, check out this equalizer. Bob saw it at a recent NAMM show. It's for the ham who never has enough knobs. Byron, VO10BB, a new founding, sent us this photo of his shack. And here's a photo that really takes the cake. It's Clifford, KB0YUV's wedding cake. Clifford reports that his new bride, Sandy, will be getting her ham ticket in the near future. She baked the cake. It's a replica of Clifford's FT950. Matt, KY4GPD, operates from this shack. It features the Kenwood TM281 Alpha transceiver and a Larson NMO150 MagMount antenna. Here's the shack at N4DH in Charlotte, North Carolina. Bill's the operator. He started his hobby by running foam patches via Army Mars in the early 1970s. Regular Show Me Your Shack contributor Dan WA5YCR sent this photo of a rotary dipole he put together last summer. He notes there's nothing commercial or uniform about it. He used one kind of tubing on one end, another pipe on the other. His wife wouldn't let him climb the tower, so he mounted it at the 6-foot level. The guys in town said it wouldn't work, but his first 17-meter contact was in Spain. He wants our Ham Nation viewers to know that they can turn anything into an antenna if they just think a bit. Lauren Libby sent us this picture of a HiLPR-40 in use at the massive TWR shortwave station in Spain. And Jim, N8DOD, sent in several shot photos. Here's a closer view. Here's his amplifier, antenna controller, and rotor control box. And here's the repeater he runs for the local ham community. and a look at his vintage station taken sometime in the 1970s. Dan KM4TC checks into the 40-meter post show net almost every week and faithfully promotes Ham Nation on Facebook during the show. He's also remodeled his shack by putting in a countertop and the shelf that spans the length of a small room. Van says it created much additional space. Richard KB3Z Victor Hotel in Erie, Pennsylvania, just got a new transceiver. It's an Elinco DXSR8T with built-in auto-tuner. His antenna is a DX80 Windom. Hoop K9QJS has a nice shack and a great view from a large picture window at San Juan Island. That's up in Washington State. And for Gonset fans, here's a shot of W0ERE's new G50. Built in the early 1960s, it's still working today. And speaking of cool cats in the shack, John N1GMV sent us this cool night shot. And finally, Greg KK4KIG sent in a picture for Bob. Here he demonstrates the proper use of a D104 microphone. And that's it for this issue of Show Me Your Shack. Remember to send your shack photos to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. And that's it for tonight. We do have a quick reminder for you, though. If you'd like to help man the Ham Nation booth for an hour or two at the Dayton Hamvention, drop me a line there at the hamnationvideos@twit.tv address. We'll get you on that list. We only have about 7 or 8 volunteers so far, so we could use some more. We'll try to put out a tentative schedule here right around the 1st of May, probably a little bit after the 1st of May. Give everyone a time to trade hours and things like that. In the meantime, send your shack photos, and hey, we need some videos too. Get them too. Us at hamnationvideos@twit.tv. And if you get your shack photos to us within the next month, we'll get you on the very next episode of Show Me Your Shack. We probably will have the next one around the end of May or the 1st of June. Well, Amanda's standing by with the news from the chat room, and well, let's send it right out now to Canyon City. How you doing, Amanda?
I'm doing great, Dale. Thank you so much, and thank you for the lovely video. Love those shacks, you guys. Keep up the good work. My first question is going to go to Gordo. We do have an announcement tonight, but I'm waiting for George to get dialed up. So, Gordo, first to you. Some people in chat room actually found it pretty amazing that you had your breaker box on the outside of the house. Is that normal for California?
Yeah, it's real common. It's on the outside. Why, do you have breaker boxes on the inside? We got them on the outside. Common.
Yes, my house right now, I have it in the garage. And my old house that I used to live in about 5 months ago, it was on the outside. And it was a Federal Pacific. You guys see those? Get rid of them. But yeah, I guess that must be uncommon up north from VE3MIC. He was in Canada. Mike wanted to know that. That's funny.
Hey, Amanda, I got
something. Wow, always something. Well, I'll take Bob's advice, and that is regularly work the breakers, and that keeps them limber. So if I do draw more than 30 amps, it'll pop.
There you go.
Hey, Amanda, we have breaker boxes here in the Ozark on the outside. We also have toilets on the outside, just so you know, here in the Ozarks,
oh, that's
you know?
Funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Really? I think they do in Canada, too. Mike, right? Answer me on chat. You guys still have outhouses. I'm pretty sure of it. Do they have indoor plumbing? No, not at all. You have electricity? Okay. Okay. You guys are funny. Gordo, serious question, though. We had a pilot in the chat room, KD2EPQ, and he was kind of curious about the high altitude balloon launch. He wanted to know Are there regulations or precautions to take so that they don't interfere with aircraft on the way up, FAA, et cetera? He's a pilot, thinks about those things when he crosses the country.
Oh, yeah. On any high-altitude balloon launch, those that are launching the balloon really need to get a hold of their local FAA and airport facility and get permission to make sure that we're not launching in a flight path. So you bet high-altitude balloons really need all the approvals before they're lifting off.
Okay, good to know. Bob, I have a question for you. You know, the telescoping rabbit ear and TV antennas we used to use. Now, if they were the correct length, could you use one of those for 6 meters?
It'd have to be 54 inches. It'd have to be pretty big. You'll have to play because there could be some cancellations if you get them too close together. But, it'll work. I've told you before, the most impressive contact that I ever have made in my 60 years was done with a Gonset, just like we saw from Al a while ago. And that came with a telescoping antenna that screwed on the top of it. It came with that. And I worked Cuba back in 1957, I think it was. I still have the card over here for it. It's one of my most memorable contacts on 6 meters. Of course, the bands were open 24/7 in those days with that wild sunspot cycle. But hey, it worked fine. It was 54 inches long, and away you go. So, like I always say, just give it a try. You never know. It's ham radio.
Exactly. I think your comment is always just throw it up. Throw it out there,
yep.
Hook it up, and see if it works. Isn't that your, I think that's your motto.
That's right.
Thank you so much. Do we have George with us now?
Hello.
Hello, George. By the way, I just had to make one quick comment. You mentioned MCM Electronics. I love that store. And you guys, if you're not already on their mailing list, get on it. You get such great deals if you're on that. You get lots of discounts, free shipping days, things like that. Anything to add to that, George?
No, I buy a lot of stuff from there. It's a lot cheaper than buying from Newark or Allied or some of those places. But, you know, your mileage and quality will vary. But small things, yeah, I'll look at MCM Electronics first. Then I'll go on, you know, to the bigger industrial guys.
Exactly. And when they do have their, and I'm not trying to make you guys go buy stuff from them, but especially their Raspberry Pi stuff, they have a lot of stock in that. So thank you so much. And the other comment Bob already talked to you about was he noticed you were using some Rode hand tools in your video there.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, well, I don't have them all here, but there's a greenie right there. This is the long version, Bob. This is the HF roadie, or greenie. And then I've got my red one. And I don't see my green one right now, but I have one of the black ones with the really fat handle for a Phillips head.
Oh, yeah.
You
got to have the black one. I absolutely agree. Exolite, a black one.
Yep.
Well,
I have a set.
George.
And go ahead.
I got a question for you. You got to have both of these, by the way, because the standing wave is better on this one. This one, of course, you have that. Right. Here's the tool. 19 late 60s or into the 70s. I wonder how many people in the chat room are watching this show know about this tool. It's really useful. It has a quarter-inch driver. It has a regular screwdriver. It has a Phillips. But it has one other thing. This is my question. What is that for? It had a specific purpose. What was that for? But you know, don't you, George?
I don't. All I know, it's another size of nut driver. I've got one or two of those around here, and when I worked at the TV station, that's the first I would grab that, and I'd grab my pocket protector that had my tweakers in, and I could fix almost anything. Well, wow. You're going to have to tell us what that's for,
and,
Bob.
Bob, that's a very handy tool. They use it a lot in Colorado. Amanda will explain it all to you.
No, okay. I will not explain that, and I don't know what you're talking about, Gordo. Go ahead, Bob.
Andy, chat room answered it close. Close. This will fit the nut that goes on an audio jack, but it was really intended back in the 60s for the volume control on televisions. The nut that held the potentiometer for a volume control, because we didn't have remote controls, you guys and girls. We had to get up and turn it. And so a lot of times you'd have to call the old, we didn't because we knew what to do with it. But a lot of people would call the technician out, and all he'd have to do was pull out his old Exolite and tighten that nut down. Okay. Hey, congratulations. That was cool. Okay. Anyway, Amanda, I'm sorry captured your chat room, but that was kind of fun, huh?
No, that was super fun, actually. Thank you so much. And I was the volume control in my household. My dad wrote something like, turn it up, turn it down. Okay, turn the channel. So, you guys, we have a big announcement tonight. We've kind of had a lack of presence on social media, but not any longer. Victor, if you don't mind going to that website real quick, we are on Facebook. How about that? And also on Twitter. So we always are trying to follow where the net is, what the frequencies are. Here we've got it. So now you guys can just go on to Facebook or Twitter, follow us, and you're going to get your updates right away. You're going to get reminders of when the show is, when it's about to start. And this is a huge open arena for you guys to bring in your questions, show off your shack, brag about your radios. There's just a couple of things I want to mention. Let's please remember our golden rules when making posts on Facebook. Please feel free to post anything of your pictures, your projects, towers, your events, or your questions. We would love to have an open arena for everyone else to come in there and answer those as well and have an open discussion. Couple of things we don't want you to post. Please do not post your personal ads, insults, harsh language, nor would we like to see any flaming or trolling going on. So if you can abide by a few of those, we would think that this is going to be an enjoyable setting for you guys all to join up on and have lots of fun discussions. And bring those Balin questions there. I think that's a good idea. And your wire projects and everything else. So you guys, I hope you join us on there. And we'll have fun with it. So that's all the questions I have for tonight. Thanks, Bob and the gang. It's been fun.
Amanda, before you leave us, Amanda, you know, a lot of this this program is listened only on the podcast. Give them the address of where to find that on Facebook, just so everybody knows.
I will repeat that address as soon as Victor puts it back up. I'm not seeing the address. Victor, do you have the URL?
It's facebook.com/hnontwit. HNONTWIT.
Okay, so facebook.com/hnontwit. So you guys, thank you so much. I should have known that. Now, Bob, over to you.
Yeah, we have so many people that listen to this on podcasts. It's crazy. And I got to answer one or two questions I saw flying. Everybody's asking about PR-77. If you read QST, you'll find out. But if you come to Dayton, you're really going to find out that and this. And we got several little surprises coming up here in the next month or 6 weeks. And it's our 50th year, and we're very, very excited. We're very honored and blessed that we've stuck around and talking about podcasts. If you haven't done this, please go to the website /podcast, ilsound.com/podcast. It's really good. And when we're with Joe this week, this coming week and two, we're going to be doing more entries of Joe on there too. So a lot of my old time rock and roll buddies are on it and fun stuff. But we're really happy about that. We're still here after 50 years, and Sarah's got it running like crazy.
Well, I want to thank everybody for being here. We had a great show, as always. And we'll be back again next week right here. So dial her up. Tell all your friends. In the meantime, we're going to head off to 75, 40, 20, wherever. Now, I saw 14268. Is that going to happen? You got any frequencies, Amanda?
I haven't seen any recently. The last one I saw was 7210 for sure, and that 20 was kind of in the mud, so that one's iffy. Yep, 7210 confirmed. That's the only one I have so far. And 14 Charlie for D-Star, of course.
Yeah. George, you have all of the D-Star addresses in case someone needs them?
Yeah. D-Star is Reflector 14 Module C, Echo Link, Star, do drop in Star, node number 355-800.
Okay. All right. And Gordo, go out and check your switch box and work your...
I will.
Oh, you got it.
And we'll CW both tonight as well as who knows when, trying to make contact with Marconi and tell him happy 100.
Yes, that's for sure. Thank you, Gordo, for reminding us.
Great. All right. Best regards, everybody. We'll see you back here in good old Twit Network. Thanks to Leo. Thanks to Victor for sitting in. And we hope all of you enjoyed the show as much fun as we have doing it for you. And I guess we're going to see you on Facebook about that. Bye-bye for now. This is K9 EID in the Ozarks. Bop, da, 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 da,